Father, I pray that today You would give us ears to listen and to hear what You have to say. God, I thank You that it's not some mysterious, extraordinary, far out experience to hear from You, but simply the opening of a book and the reading of words already spoken. So God, help us hear. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I love the early seasons of the ER. Any ER fans? In the early days. Now, as it went on, I kind of lost interest. Early on, it was all about the actual ER and not just the drama of the lives of the doctors. And I kind of got over it at that point. It became a soap opera. But I love those early days. And scenes like this one would have me all tensed up and on the edge of my seat. You know, it was one of the first times that TV graphically brought the emergency room into our living room, wasn't it? I guess it was there for the first time that I heard the words, rib spreader. And all of a sudden they cranked somebody's chest cavity open. And you know, when the paramedics would bring a patient in, the question was always, what do you got? From the doctors in the ER, and the paramedics would then begin to explain to the doctors, listen closely to the condition of that patient so that they know what how to treat the patient, right? They were listening very closely. And then when the paramedics were through talking and through explaining the condition of that patient, only then would the doctors speak, and they would begin then to give orders to their staff, the lead doctor giving orders to the other doctors and nurses in the room, who then would be listening very intently to the doctor to make sure that exactly what needed to be done was actually what they did for this patient who was in a major situation of trauma. You see, listening is important in emergencies. Listening is very important in emergencies. One time a few years ago, Robin had an allergic reaction to some medicine that she was taking. And all of a sudden, we had sort of a nursing home scene at my house, and she was, I don't know, about 30 years old at the time. The muscles in her jaw and her neck on one side of her body began to draw. And I was going to wag with the medical term for this, but I will hit off. Some kind of dyskinesia. Hey, you like that? Isn't that good? Yeah. And so all of a sudden her jaw started doing this. And y'all watch. This is good. It started going on this way. And a kid kind of gives it this. And it was ugly. It scared me to death. Now, that qualified as an emergency. So we got on the phone immediately with the doctor. The doctor said, take her to the emergency room at Kent Stone Hospital. We live in LJ. Y'all know that's about 45 minutes away, but it did not take that long that day. At the time, I drove a Buick Regal, and that 3.8-liter engine carried us down the highway about 90 to 95 miles an hour. Robin was getting worse in the front seat, more drawn over, her tongue doing whatever it was doing. She was in pain. My stomach was in a knot. My mother, bless her heart, had come over, and she was brave enough to get in the car. And my mom was scared to death because we were flying down the highway. But we went in there, and they got the relief. By the way, the emergency solution was Benadryl. And I was ready to kill some doctors the time I got through with the emergency room because I thought I could have given her that at the house. And she'd have been a whole lot better the time I got there. But, you know, I listened to what the doctor said. I didn't talk about it. I just said, hey, listen, you know, it's a long way. We'll never get there. I just listened. And I did what I was told. Sometimes we face spiritual emergencies, don't we? It may be a financial crisis you're dealing with. It could be an accident in your family. It could be struggles with your kids or kids with your parents. It could be ongoing health problems. You face those spiritual emergencies. Spiritual, emotional, and relational situations that look like this, or at least feel that way in your life. And you know, it's in those spiritual emergencies that you and I need to be listening to God most. Listening to God is hard but crucial in tough times. We're in the book of James this morning, and the context, at least in this first chapter, is still that of our trials. Remember what James said in verse 2, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And so the whole context of James is how to deal with our trials. And this morning, what we find is instruction that tells us essentially this: listening to God is hard but crucial in tough times. And here's the thing. We need God to be our guide through tough times. And we can hear His voice through the Bible, through the Word of God. I want you to look with me at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. As it appears on the screen, it's in the New Living Translation. And you can take your Bibles and look there with me in your version of God's Word. But here's what it says. "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters." Something important is about to be said. That's why he says, "Understand this." And he appeals to them as those that he loves and cares about. "My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls." In another translation, verse 20, is put this way: "For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness." We've been warned to be slow to anger. And then in verse 21, also in the translation here, says, "Instead, be humble and accept the message that is planted in you to save you." We'll talk more about these things later. That's talking about the gospel. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But that's talking about the gospel planted in us to save us. Sam, if I can just go back to one slide. Understand this. This is important. You're in the middle of a trial. Maybe not today. Maybe it was this past week. Maybe it's coming up this week. You're in the middle of the trial. James says to you, "Understand this. Here's the way you need to navigate the trial. Here's the solution." And if you boil it all down, you know what he's saying? Listen to God in the middle of your trial. Now, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. There's parts to this listening. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. You've got to get rid of the things. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your life and humbly accept. Then listen. Then you're ready to really listen. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save you. Listening to God is hard, but it's crucial in tough times. So, from this verse, what do you need to do when you face a trial? Let's just break these three verses down. Here it is. You need to slow down, speed up, clean out, and take in. Four things. Can you handle that? We need to slow down, speed up, clean out, and take in. We need to slow down our mouths and our anger. We need to speed up our listening. And we do that by cleaning out the spiritual wax from our spiritual ears, so that we can take in God's word with our hearts, and truly hear what He has to say. First of all, speed up your ears. Speed up your ears. The text says, "Be quick to listen." How many of you have, by nature, quick ears? That's good. If you raise your hand, you crazy as I look. Nobody has quick ears, right? We're slow to hear, aren't we? We're slow to listen. James says, "Be quick to listen." In Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it it is folly and shame to him. How many times have you had to stick your foot in your mouth because you didn't even understand what the person was talking about, but you went ahead and gave them what they needed, right? You told them what they needed to hear, except it wasn't because you didn't know what they were saying. In our trials, so often we speak to God without first listening to Him. Remember, the whole context of the book of James, and especially the first chapter, is that of trial. What happens when you face something difficult? What happens when you enter into a challenging time of your life? You know what happens to me? I start talking inside God. Is that what happens? I start trying to figure out what's going on, and I start explaining why this shouldn't be happening to me. I start having these little conversations with God inside and with myself about how unjust this is and how messed up this is and how, man, I don't need this today. I don't deserve that this week. And so forth and so on. I start talking, don't I? I'm not quick to listen and ask God what the deal is. In Sunday school, we've been looking at this passage and we've been focusing on this in our personal relationships. And folks, it's powerful. Take all that we're saying today, apply it to personal life, and you'll have better relationships. But how important it is today for us to understand how all this relates to our relationship to God. Be quick to listen. Speed up your ears. Same thing, slow down your mouth. How many of you have slow tongues? Now, there's a few of you that are a little slower in tongue than the rest of us, but we all have trouble with this, don't we? That's why James gives us the command. Be slow to speak. Slow down your mouth. My mother, not from the New King James, actually from the Living Bible, used to quote Proverbs 10:19 to me. And the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. I think the Living Translation was something to the effect of, where words are many, sin is not absent. And Mama would quote that and then proceed to tell me just how my mouth had sinned. And she was real clear. And she was always right. How many times have you ever gotten in trouble by not talking versus the times you got in trouble by talking? There may be a few times where silence didn't do you so well. You needed to answer or something and you didn't say anything. You were stubborn or whatever. You got in trouble. But you know, most of the time, it's our tongues that get us in trouble, not silence. If I want to speed up my ears, I've got to slow down my mouth. And when I face a trial, I need to be doing both so I can begin to hear God. James 1:26, just a few verses later in the same chapter, James says this: if you claim to be religious, spiritual, somebody that's a God kind of person, a follower of Christ, but you don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I can't control our tongues and we just run off at the mouth on any and every occasion, then folks, the bottom line is this: Jesus doesn't have control of our hearts because of what's coming out of our mouth. Jesus said, out of the heart man speaks. So we need to slow down our mouth. And see, the deal is this: if I claim to be religious, if I claim to have a relationship with God, but immediately in a trial, in a challenging time, I'm just running my mouth to God, I'm not listening to Him, how can I know what He wants to say? How can I know what He wants to do in my heart? Speed up your ears, slow down your mouth, and thirdly, slow down your anger. Be slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now again, we're in the context of trials, right? What is the the righteousness that God desires. If you go back to, again, to verses 2 and 3, brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity of joy. Why? How could James say, let trouble and trial be a time for joy? It's because of what God's wanting to do in your life and in your heart through that trial. That's what he tells us in verse 3. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Do you know how it is that we become more like Christ? It's through the exercise of our faith. Remember we talked about we're in a state of constant conditioning in the Christian life. God sees to it because He brings trial after trial. If you think about it this way, spiritual workout after spiritual workout, He puts you in the gym, He puts you on the weight bench, and He puts it in your hand. You don't have any choice. It's either lift or get squashed. But He does it to make you more like Christ. Have you ever built muscle on your physical body without exercising that muscle? Absolutely not. Now, there's one that we refer to, and we'll do our best here in just a few minutes to build it, called table muscle. And, of course, it's no muscle at all, right? But otherwise, you can't build muscle without exercise. And so God puts us in the gym regularly. He sends a trial in our lives to make us more like Christ. You see, that's the righteousness of character that God desires. But our anger that always follows slow ears and quick tongues, at the very same time that all oftentimes precedes slow ears and quick tongues. Sometimes it's a circle, isn't it? Sometimes I don't know what comes first. Our crazy words, our anger, they feed each other eventually, right? And it becomes a downward spiral. But that human anger will never produce the righteousness God desires. The only way to get the good out of our trial is to first listen to God. Listening to God is hard, but it's crucial. Especially in trials. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Scott brought this out in Sunday school this morning. And he who rules his spirit, then he who takes the city. In God's perspective, someone who can control his own anger is better than a warrior. He who can rule his own spirit, he's better than one who can take a whole city, overthrow a whole city in battle. You know, the world's seen strong people that can do these sorts of things. God has seen someone and said, I'd rather have a guy that can control his own temper. And along with it is mouth. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9 says, don't be quick-tempered. Why? For anger is a friend of fools. Just think about somebody, don't say anything out loud, but think about somebody you consider a fool. That you think God would consider a fool. And in all seriousness, I mean, don't, this is not a funny thing, it's a bad thing. But with that, they probably got a problem with their temper, don't they? That's probably what drives a lot of the foolishness, if you will, in their lives. The behavior and the way they live, a lot of it driven by anger. Don't be quick-tempered, for anger is the friend of fools. And yet, you know what you and I often do in the face of a trial is we're quick to anger. We get aggravated with God. We're facing what we're facing. We're having to deal with what we're dealing with. And all of a sudden, we become, as His people, fools in His sight because we're not listening. Our ears are slow and our tongues are quick and our anger is allowed to just boil out of control.
We've got to slow down our anger.
Know what we can do all that is if we clean out our spiritual ears. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. It's interesting, in the Greek language here, the word for filth was actually used in that day to refer to earwax. They had earwax problems in the first century A.D. They didn't have Q-tips so far as I know. So we're way ahead of them. But James says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. The whole goal here is His whole point in this passage is to tell us, listen to God in the middle of your trials. And so what he's saying here is, get the wax out of your ears. Get the sin out of your life. Anger can be part of that. There can be other things. Sometimes when you and I face a trial, you know what? God is wanting to clean up our lives. There's something that we're involved in. There's something that we've allowed to remain in our lives. There's some habit. There's some thought process. There's some way of speaking. There's something going on that's sin in our lives. And God brings a trial to clean us up. And so when a trial comes, you know what? Sometimes we just need to search our own hearts and say, God, are you trying to get my attention? Now hear me. We talked about this back when we dealt with verses 2 through 4 of this chapter. Every trial you face is not because of your own personal sin. However, sometimes it is. Sometimes God's getting your attention. And so, when you face a trial, you know, it's not a bad thing to ask God, is there something that I need to understand? Is there something I'm doing that you're trying to get my attention about? You see, by the way, if God brings a trial in your life to get your attention about sin, understand how He does that. He's not coming to destroy you. He's coming because He loves you. And as your Father, He's coming to gently and graciously discipline you and get you back on the right track. That's His perspective. Now, He may come with a little harshness, and that trial may be kind of tough, right? You know why? Because if you're like me, sometimes it takes a little something loud and strong to get my attention. But you can always know that if He comes, if it is to point out sin in your life, He's coming to help you see that, deal with it, and move on in obedience to Him. And He's doing it because He loves you. Because here's the thing, folks. Whatever sin that we have existing in our lives at any given point, let me just ask you, has sin ever helped you? Has sin ever benefited you in life? Not in the long run. It may make you feel good in the moment. It may pay some dividends in the short term. But ultimately, sin will destroy you. It will destroy you inside. It will destroy you. It can even destroy you physically. And folks, ultimately, it will destroy you spiritually. And even eternally, not taken care of through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And so we've got to clean out our spiritual ears. What kind of wax you got in there this morning that needs to be pulled out? God can take care of it. And He wants to do that. Well, you know what? When we've done all that, when we sped up our ears, when we slowed down our tongues and our anger, when we cleaned out our spiritual ears, then we can take in God's Word. Then we can really listen. And we can hear. Humbly accept, the text says, the Word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. Now, what James is talking about first and foremost is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message that Jesus came and lived a perfect life in your place and went to the cross and there died as your substitute, bearing, as the Bible says, in His own body all your sins as He hung on that cross. There He was punished and suffered all of God's wrath toward your sin, so you didn't have to. He died under the weight of our sin. Was buried 3 days in the grave, and then on the third day He rose again in victory over sin. That message has been planted in your heart as a follower of Christ, right? It's planted there. It's deep. And James says, it has the power to save your souls. Not just the kind of saving that we think about, saving us from hell, saving us for all of eternity in heaven. But today, saving my heart and my soul in its struggle with sin, in its facing of a given trial in life, that message is powerful enough to save me there. You see, Jesus did not only die on the cross to save me from sin's penalty, He died on the cross to give me power over sin today.
Amen.
The Bible says when He was raised to life in the resurrection, the Bible says you and I were raised with Him to what? In Romans, to newness of life. Raised with power and victory to not do what sin says, to not do what our own wicked hearts say, but to say no to sin and yes to Jesus and have power to obey Him. And so, humbly accept the Word God has planted in your hearts.
when you face a trial, in addition to speaking up your ears, slowing down your tongue, slowing down your anger, and getting all the sin out of your life, confessing anything that needs to be handled with God, and that's the most important part in this whole exchange, is then we need to listen to the message of the gospel. Okay, God, I'm in this trial. I don't like it. Not sure what this is all about. But here's what I know. You sent your Son. He died to save me. Your Holy Spirit lives within me, and you're making me more and more like Him day by day. So God, in light of the cross, what is this all about? In light of who Jesus was and is in my life, what do I need to do in this trial? In light of, and there used to be bracelets for this thing, what would Jesus do? In light of this trial, how do I need to live to show those around me who Jesus is? You see, when we go to the cross with our trials and begin to listen to God and begin to remind ourselves of the message that He's already spoken into our hearts, the questions change about our trials, don't they? Our whole perspective changes. It's not about us. It's about Christ in our lives and what He's trying to do in us and through us. Now, certainly this verse refers to all of God's Word, not just the gospel. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 47, these instructions are not mere words God told the people of Israel. They are your life. Let me say it as plainly as I know how. You cannot live as a Christian without this book. You cannot live without feeding your heart on the Bible. I don't know if I can say any more simply than that, but I'll try. You cannot live the Christian life without reading and thinking about and then obeying, and that's next week's sermon, the Bible. You cannot do it. It's the way you came to know Jesus. Think about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. How did you come to Christ? Somehow God's Word was involved. Told you who you were. Told you who God is. Told you what Jesus has done. And it created faith in your heart so you could trust in Him. Jesus felt the same way about God's Word in John 17, verse 17. He said, make them pure. He's praying for us. This is an awesome passage. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, John 17, because Jesus is praying for you and me. That's pretty powerful. And He said, make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. How did Jesus say God would make you more like Him? By teaching you and me His words of truth. The truth recorded in the Bible. So folks, we've got to be students of the book. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, Jesus had been telling the parable of the soils. And He described all these different kinds of ground. And He talked about this guy that went out and sowed the seed, and the seed fell on all different kinds of ground, rocky and thorny and good ground and so forth. But in 8:13, He says the rocky soil, that's the dirt that's just underneath the surface that the dirt's got rock. Y'all tried to plant in that stuff before? You tried to deal with that, trying to grow stuff? The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. They love what they hear. They listen, sort of. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt. Notice this. When they wilt? When the hot winds of what? Oh, no, that's James 1, isn't it? When the hot winds of testing blow. If a trial drives up the plan of your relationship with God, folks, your roots didn't run very deep. What's the trial intended to do? It's intended to prove how strong our faith in Christ is, how deep His grace in our lives runs. To maybe strengthen our faith. Oh, don't be like the rocky soil. And you see, God has planted the gospel in our hearts
And folks, if it's really there, it's got deep roots. It changes your heart. The Bible says it takes out the heart of stone, rocky soil, puts in a heart of flesh, makes your heart full of good dirt. So the gospel can really grow and change you. Even in the middle of difficulty. Yeah, listening to God is hard, but it's crucial in tough times. Why is listening to God so crucial in tough times? Because we need for God to transform our lives through His Word, especially in tough times, right? Say a little differently. I need help when it's hard. Don't you? That's why listening is so crucial. If I can't hear God, listen, I promise you this, I can't get the help I need. If I'm quick with my tongue and quick with my anger and let sin hang in my life when I face a trial, then I'll guarantee you I'll blow it in that trial. I won't get the good out of that workout. I'll get injured in the gym. I'll strain something spiritually because I'm not listening to what God is trying to say to me in that trial. Oh, how we need for God to transform our lives through His Word, especially in tough times. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How's He going to do that? He's going to zap you with that one day? You're going to show up at church and one of my pathetic sermons, are you expecting that that's going to just bow, zap you with that kind of heart change? Not hardly. How do you do it? By changing the way you think. And how does He do that? Now, He might use something, I say, if it's according to the Word of God. He does it by His Word. Remember what Jesus said? Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. That's how we're changed.
Amen.
Don't copy the customs and behaviors of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, it's got to start inside. It's not a list of outward do's and don'ts. It's truth that changes you from the inside out. As you know God through His Word, then you will know, Paul says, what God wants you to do. And you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. You won't just know what He wants you to do, but you'll see how it's the right path, how it's a beautiful path to walk, how it's the most happy way to live. Kind of like our vehicles. They run best when driven according to the operator's manual. Right, Jim? When serviced according to the operator's manual. And yet some of us have never read those things. And what's worse, some of us never, today, don't spend near enough time reading the manual about life. Hey, it's just real simple. If God made you, and He did, if He saved you, and He did, don't you reckon He knows how your deal ought to run? In your marriage, with your kids, on the job, with your money, in your thought life, in your speech, here amongst the fellowship of believers, with that neighbor who's so hard to deal with. Don't you think He can tell you how to run the deal?
Sure He can.
2 Timothy chapter 3, as we get close to the runway. Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God. This book we call the Bible, it's God's Word. We've already said that. Another way to say the same thing is this. This is the breath of God. He's breathed it out through human authors. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Do you need to know what's true?
Sure you do.
And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Do you need to know what's wrong in your life?
Sure.
It straightens us out. Ever need that?
Sure.
And teaches us to do what is right. I've still got things to learn. How about you? It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. By the way, that includes trials. When I face that time of testing, there's explanation in here about how to go through that trial.
Now, I may not understand everything about every trial I face, but I'll guarantee this, if I'll listen to God, I'll understand more. And if I'll do the things we talked about this morning, I guarantee you on the other side of this trial, Christ will receive more glory, and I'll be closer to my Father than if I'm quick with my tongue, slow with my ears, and quick with an angry heart.
Hey, trials are tough. They provoke all that in us. That's the natural reaction. And yet we've got an alternative. Listening to God is hard, but it's crucial in tough times. Well, I hope you respond better than this congregation. And as I show you this card, I couldn't resist. I'm out here in a congregation with you with my own son. Notice where the preacher's Bible is. Don't mention hell. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Please refer to sin as bad choices. Tell me again how much God wants to bless me. Make sure there are enough programs for my kids. Remember how much money I give each week. What can Jesus do for me? If you don't do things my way, be relevant. Tickle my ears. You got something. Tell me how to get rich. Only good news. Don't talk about the cross. You know what? We've all held those signs, and all those signs at one point or another. Our default is to not listen to God in trials. Our default, our natural response, is to do anything but listen to God in trials. Anything but slow down our tongue. Anything but slow down the anger of our heart that doesn't like the circumstances of our lives. And yet, we need to listen. Don brought this verse out in Sunday school this morning from Amos 8:11. It's not going to be on the screen. It says there, "The time is surely coming, says the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And Amos spoke of a time when God was silent in the history of Israel. It was purposeful. God quit speaking to His people. Because He'd spoken so much and they obeyed and listened so little. And so there was in the history of the Israelites, just prior to the coming of Christ, 400 silent years where He didn't say a word. There were no prophets speaking. There was nothing said. It was silent. I thank God today that we're not in a time of silence. We're in a time where He's spoken. We'll never be in a time of silence again. And yet, by our own device, some of us live in a famine of hearing the Word of God. Why? I'm just going to boil it right down to where I live and where you live. We'll put it right in your lap today. Because I don't open my Bible when I need to. Because you won't read from this book when you need it most in the face of a trial. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. I just tell you, I get sick of hearing in America, any Christian who says, "I'm just not getting fed." Because you're not feeding yourself. You can turn the TV on and get good preaching. Some of you did that this morning before you got here because you knew. Well, what is up here? You got 10 or 12. You got 10 or 12 Bibles at the house. Christians in America buy $5 billion worth of Christian products every year. Let me tell you something. If you're hungry spiritually, it's your fault. And if we had nothing but this, it's still here. We've got teaching aids. We've got videos. We've got cassette tapes and CDs and DVDs. Folks, the question is, do you want to hear? Do you want to hear? And I'm not saying that to you, just to you. I'm saying it to me. Will I listen when I need to listen most in the middle of a trial? Can you imagine what our lives might look like if we regularly listen to God through His Word, especially in our trials? Can you imagine how much differently we would think and act and speak? Try it with me for just a second. Think about the last trial you faced and what could have been different. You know what could have been different, don't you? I do. I know what I could have done different as I think about the Word of God. I know how I could have reacted differently, spoken differently, thought differently, felt in my heart differently, behaved differently if I just listened to God. As Lauren comes to sing, ask God to make all this real in your life. Lauren's going to take us back to the cross in her song, and then we're going to come to the Lord's table. Think about the cross and what Jesus has done so that you and I can listen to God through His Word and be changed even in our trials.